is whatsoever knowledge has a form, right? If you keep this form, you don't get what I said, I tried to say. And he put it in a very simple way. If you go in the this discourse of literature, that this could be that, that could be that, and expand your imagination, okay, well, as simple as it is. Okay. I was talking about the mission I'm trying to do. I'm explaining and bringing different stories and all that. And that lion who lives in his personal life believes that these are nonsenses. We talk differently. Yes, here we talk, and there is two parts to this talking. There is this form of written literature and language. There is a meaning inside it, which has nothing to do with the language. It could be translated into all that. That meaning is the life of this literature. And these form, alphabetic form, poetic form, in Persian language or whatever, this is the form of it. If you trust the form will go away. The form is not forever, and you get lost. The essence of this teaching, the meaning underneath, whatever we say is what we are aiming at. And it's important to us. When I was talking about this wind, which is no good and is going to write down everything, I was talking about the wind in you, the hawa in you, temptation in you. Look at you. You write down the story of your being and the understanding and everything. How? You repeat your temptations. Whatever you want, you wish, you put it in your way of seeing and describing, even in the way of understanding whatever I say. His wind is hawa and arzu, wishes. You mix your vision with your wishes. I mean, your wish will form it, because you will see the universe the way you wish it was. Normally seeing it as it is needs an, a clear mind, not being so involved in it. We are involved in it. So it's okay. This got too complicated, right? No, it's simple. Forget that hawa. Then what? If you don't have any wishes, what will happen? You tell me, what will happen if you have no wishes? You think you don't exist anymore, because you think you are your wishes. This is that a good belief of Jabri, that Rumi is saying is wrong, and this is just like the lion himself, right? Lion is angry because his food is late, period, right? And you think that if your wishes disappear, there won't be you. Let us look at this a little bit carefully. If you eliminate the existence, what will remain? Suddenly, if I can do this, and all the existing universe disappears, then what? You, who doesn't believe in something else and believes in the universe that your personal capability will show to you, you think that there is nothing else. Oh, somewhere else, Rumi will explain it very delicately. You say, if you get quiet, if you could quiet down all the sounds, then what is there? So there is one sound that you cannot put out, you cannot turn off, It's not in this existence, and it's not to you to turn it off. I know that sound will be there. If you quieten all the other sounds, you will hear it. You know what it is? Irjai, come back to me. That sound of the Creator calling us back to Him. He says, that is universal, eternal. It has nothing to do with time and physical existence. That's His voice. It will be there. If you quieten all the other sounds, you will hear it. If you quieten all your wishes, then there is His message. If you eliminate all the existence and even non-existence, He still is there, and His message is still there, and His wishes will be done. Let's not forget that. Let's hear it from Rumi.
The wind in men is vanity and desire. When you have abandoned vanity, is the message from Him. Sweet are the messages of the Maker, for it from head to foot is enduring.
Because His message is not temporary. That's why it's sweet. That's why it is lovely, because it's eternal. His message is not like all your wishes, which are ever changing. Every single moment your wishes will change, right? But He calling us back is an eternal stuff. His message is eternal. Look at what you have in front of you. What do you see in this book? If you could oversimplify it, which would be good to be understood, that please. There is a message here, right? What is this message all about? Does Rumi create it? Did he create this message? He himself will say, oh, I learned it from Shams, I learned it from Attar, I learned it from Samari. What about Samari and Attar? Learning from someone else. It goes back to the history of human thinking. And they're all the same. There is a major difference between philosophy and enlightenment. In philosophy, every philosopher's duty is to prove the last theory insufficient or wrong to bring the new one, right? So they have to oppose each other. This is the history of philosophy. All the philosophers will prove the last one a dumb, stupid, silly, something like that. What do you think about Newton? That good scientist with that silly story of the apple. He was a naive man. Really, he believed that physical existence is it. And he couldn't imagine the subatomic structure. That's how it goes. But when we talk about sin, when we talk about selflessness, when we talk about love, we're not talking about something new. We're not talking about something old. We're talking something eternal that is not new, is not old. It's timeless. That's how all our description will go to that limit. It's neither this, neither that. It's something else. Because it's somewhere else in the other dimensions. In the other way of us expressing ourselves and being here. So we say, if you let go of that vanity, then the message is there. Because he doesn't think you're empty. You think that you're full of you, and that's it. Because you started with being you, and you think you will end up by not being you dead. And the universe stops somehow, right? It starts from the day you were born and will end the day you lived. If any one of you today thought about 780 years ago?
No.
That's very, very past. They're dead. They're gone.